Robert, thanks so much for coming on and doing this. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ed. It's a real pleasure. I will say Radio Inc. is daily reading for me every weekday, so I enjoy doing this.
Well, that was very nice. I didn't even ask you to do that, but thank you for saying that. So Robert, for our audience, why don't you give them the background on, you know, your history, your you know, what you've been doing and what you're doing now.
Okay. Most of my career has actually been in real estate, commercial real estate investing. I've never actually owned a shopping center or building, whatever. It's just always been an equity investment. And, you know, that's where I've made my treasure to hopefully get into radio here really quick. As far as radio, I don't know if you recall, back in 2013, I was actually a winner of one of the allocations in FM Auction 94. And tried to get into it at that time, but learned the hard way that when the FCC says they intend to enforce rural radio, they mean it. And I was not able to do the move-in with that frequency that I wanted to, so that kind of busted. And so I just kind of turned back to my real estate. However, I love radio, always have since I was a little kid, and I'm hoping before the end of this calendar year that the word will be out that Robert Lee finally got a radio station or a group.
Great, great. So why so down on AM?
Actually, Ed, the dirty little secret for me to share with your readers is I listen to AM radio just about every day. But I think the thing that sets me apart is I consider myself an early adopter. And what I mean in the context of all this is once when I was a kid, you know, FM started getting big back in the middle or late 70s, I moved on to it. I adopted it. Growing up, I was a huge fan growing up in Michigan of the Big 8, CKLW, the big 50,000-watt flamethrower from across the river in Detroit. And but once FM came along, I moved on to that. And I'm not emotional or radical or extreme about it like some people are. And to the extent that people want to have that passion, great. You know, we all have our different passions in life. But when it comes to AM radio, I moved on, like I said, back in the 70s or 80s. And even today, from a very different perspective, there's no doubt that AM radio as a technology is being degraded badly. And you talk to pretty much any engineer that will be honest with you, and the sound quality of AM from all the, you know, part 15 or whatever you want to call it, interference, has really degraded the AM band. And as I've mentioned in my comments, other countries recognize that, certainly in Europe. And even if you look to the north and south of us, the Canadian and Mexican governments are gravitating away from AM radio and either going to FM in the case of Canada or Mexico, or DAB or sometimes DRM for other countries, because they recognize the shortcomings of AM radio due to the technical and engineering degradation.
So you wrote a column that generated almost 100 comments from our readers, which is rare. I mean, just like, you know, listeners that call a radio station, you have to wonder how many people have actually read it and not commented on it. But in a nutshell, Explain what the column was again.
Okay, the column is my idea, and it's not my idea really or a new idea. This idea has been around for probably about 20 years now to basically shut down the AM band and gravitate everything that's on the AM band now over to FM, hopefully all digital FM, certainly in an expanded band, which would include the Channel 5 and Channel 6 TV spectrum, but also the incumbent FM band right now, basically from 88 to 108 FM, convert it all to digital, move all the AM stations over, whether they get their own station or whether an incumbent company moves their AM to one of the HD sidebands or translators or whatever, and shut down AM. It's a 100-year-old technology. Because of that interference, I don't think that it's holding up well, you know, from an engineering standpoint, and just do it.
Do you think that has any traction? It's going to go anywhere, that idea?
I'm a realist. All you can do sometimes is put an idea out there, and maybe you'll be pleasantly surprised that it will happen. But if not, you know, at least we had a good conversation about AM radio and what we really fundamentally need to do to fix it if we're going to keep it.
So let's talk about some of the comments that we received on the website on RadioInc.com. The first one from Saul Levine.
Very interesting ones.
Yeah, the first one from Saul Levine, that he says that AM radio is still viable, that he's had a station on the air since 1954. What do you say to that?
Well, you probably saw my little comment there. I tried to have fun with this. You know, I don't want to be extreme about it. I ribbed him that the name of his company ends with FM, you know, so I thought that was kind of clever. But really with Saul, I mean, let's be honest here. If you look at the history of his AM station there, I think it's 1260 AM. He's actually had a lot of different formats on it over the years. So the technical or engineering issue aside, it seems like maybe he's, I don't know if struggle is the right word, but that's what comes to mind right now. He struggled with his AM station.
Okay. Tim Scott, other than saying you have no idea what you're talking about, says that he continuously receives praise for how good his AM station sounds, and they're using the OptiMod 9100 and been running recap, running very little processing on it. Sounds like it sounds like an FM, he says. How do you answer that one?
That is inherent to a station-by-station-by-station basis. If you look at the bigger picture, though, with AM, even his station or stations, I don't know if he has more than one, whether he wants to admit it or not, it's being bombarded with interference, electrical and electronic interference that I pretty much guarantee, you know, I don't know how many years his station has been on the air, it doesn't sound as good today, it doesn't reach as far today as it did when he first signed it on or bought it.
Mark Carbonaro says, to say that AM cannot sound good is folly. High fidelity AM can be done, and WLW proved it in the late 50s. Anything about that you want to jump in on?
Yeah. I mean, once again, they're trying to make an improvement on the inherent signal of a station. But the AM band, again, I mean, I don't mean to be repetitive here, is under a lot of duress right now from that external interference.
You know,
any AM station. If you talk to even the engineers at some of the big 50,000 watt little C clear channel, you know, flamethrowers, even those stations, ground wave wise, have been diminished in recent years.
You know, you mentioned earlier the Part 15 interference. It's weird that you mentioned that, because I'm even looking into getting a part. You can get a Part 15 transmitter like for like $60. And it only obviously it only goes a block or two, but you can upgrade those and it goes a mile or two. Obviously, you're not supposed to interfere with another signal, otherwise you're a pirate, but anybody could have one.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of threw Part 15 in there, but I think within the radio industry, that's still a very, very small part of the problem. It's the other things, the bigger electrical lines that run outside your house, and then the stuff that we have inside our house that creates electronic noise from cell phones. I'm talking on a cell phone right now, from computers, Wi-Fi, all these different things, microwaves, timers, things like that interfere with AM signals.
You know, other than the FM translators, we really haven't had heard much from the FCC since years ago when they said they were revitalizing the AM. Where do you think that's going?
Well, look at what they've done. They took a problem that existed on the AM band with all the interference and everything that has affected that band, and they jammed all these FM translators onto the FM band, and now the FM band... you know, certainly hear a lot of complaints from incumbent full-power FM broadcasters about interference from translators mainly, but also LPFMs, you know, low-power FMs being shoehorned in there. You know, do FM translators really fix the fundamental problems with AM and not create problems on the FM band? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the stations like WINS in New York and KYW there are a bunch of very successful AM stations out there. Some of them are obviously broadcasting on FM as well. But there are still some heritage AM stations out there doing great work.
Absolutely. And I think that's certainly where the content aspect comes in. Some of those stations that you mentioned, or when I lived out west for a while, KNX up in Los Angeles, they have very compelling program. programming, excuse me. You know, but still, technically, like I said, even some of the big 50,000-watt Class A engineers have said even their stations are being degraded. So, you know, excellent for WINS or WCBS or WABC or WJR, where I'm originally from in Michigan, or Chicago, which has, what, 4 Class A's. Good for them while it lasts.
Right. Robert, anything else you want to say about all the comments and all the responses and how things turned out with that with the latest article?
Well, you know, it's interesting, kind of turning back to the FCC, which unfortunately, through years of neglect, allowed this to happen. Even if they say no, we're not going to do it, it would be great to know that they've taken a look at the AM to FM proposal that I and others have put up over the years. And if it's yes, great. But if it's no, at least let us know why and what you're really, truly going to do to improve AM, if that's your intent. Right now, as far as AM, FM translators is really the only big thing.
Right.
I know they're looking at nighttime coverage and stuff like that, interference. But again, the problems with AM are irreversible in my book because of all the literally millions of electrical and electronic sources of noise out there that have degraded the band. And I don't know if we can turn back from that.
Well, Robert, thanks so much for your time, and thanks for writing the column, and we can't wait to see what Act 2 is going to be.
All right. Thank you, Ed.